Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique take at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus and the Hardball Times. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word, and you can find me on the Locker Room app at StaceGotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. We have another win against the Blue Jays to recap. Another comeback win. This was a big deal last night. And because of one player, and I will talk about him in the show. So we'll have the recap of the game. I have quotes from people and thoughts on the sticky ball situation, because that's what's dominating baseball right now. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Yes, last night. Let's discuss the game, obviously. Gerrit Cole comes out, pitches 8 innings, 2 runs. Not a typical Gerrit Cole start. You know, he didn't have a high number of strikeouts, but my goodness, was that man dialing it up at the end. He threw a 101-mile-an-hour pitch in the 8th inning. Well into his start, he was over 100 pitches at that point, and he just dialed it back and hit 101 like it was no big deal. Now, you could tell while watching that he was having a little trouble locating, and he said after the game, well, I'll play his soundbite from after the game. He'll explain everything to you, but he was talking about how it was difficult to grip the ball, but that it got better later in the game because of the weather in Buffalo. I didn't realize it was so chilly in Buffalo until I saw how everyone was dressed, but it was nice seeing a big crowd there, although, as I said on the show yesterday, I feel bad for Blue Jays fans because they can't leave their country to come to Buffalo to see their team play. Buffalo's not that far from Toronto, and it's not as if every Blue Jays fan lives in Greater Toronto Area, otherwise known as the GTA or the Six, like Drake likes to call it. You know, there are Blue Jays fans right over the border who can't even get to Buffalo to see them, and that's just sad, and hopefully that'll change soon with everything opening up. So let's go through the game. Cole starts us off by giving up a solo home run to Marcus Semien. He gave up 2 solo home runs last night, 1 to Semien, 1 to Kevin Biggio. Other than that, he looked fine. Again, strikeouts were not as high as normal, but he lasted 8 innings. And I know a lot of people had questions about how he would do last night without relying on sticky stuff to help him. And he passed the test. I will take 8 innings of 2-run ball from Gerrit Cole every day and twice on Sundays. So 8 innings, 2 runs on 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, those 2 home runs. His ERA is still at 2.31. He threw 104 pitches. I believe it was the 101st pitch that was 101, which is kind of a cool thing to have happen. So 104 pitches overall, 70 for strikes. And let's go through the plays because, you know, Toronto only scored in the 1st and the 5th. The Yankees scored in the 1st, but they should have scored more than one because they had the bases loaded with, I believe, 1 out at the time. And they did their usual. No, they didn't do their usual. Sorry. They did not hit into a double play, which was lovely to see. But they should have had more than 1 run. And P. people were worried that it was going to come back to bite them in the rear end. And it nearly did. Because, of course, Toronto tied it up right away. And that was the theme of the other night as well. And then Gary Sanchez comes in the top of the seventh, hits a pinch hit home run, 113 mile an hour exit velocity, 446 feet off the bat. What was funny about it was they showed the replay of his home run from the other night. And I got confused at first because I thought they were showing it again. And then I realized that he hit another home run. And then I yelled in excitement because that was just very clutch. And Gary Sanchez has been picking things up lately. The Gary haters kind of have to be silent right now because he's doing really well and he's one of the Yankees' best players right now. So then he's in the game for the rest of the game. So bottom of the seventh, bottom of the eighth, bottom of the ninth. Catches Cole for the bottom of the seventh and the bottom of the eighth, and then catches Aroldis Chapman in the bottom of the ninth. Gary Sanchez won that game for the Yankees last night. Not just from the home run. Because of what he did in the ninth inning with Chapman. You had that comebacker that Chapman threw to Sanchez a little too soon, but they were still able to get Vlad Jr. out at third base because he was coming for home. Chapman should have kind of run toward him a little more. I don't know. He kind of messed that up, but he lucked out that Vlad Jr. was called out at third. Then Gary Sanchez does the best acting job ever in that Gurriel at bat, making everyone think it was a foul tip, even though it wasn't. Although, to be fair, C.B. Buckner did call time because he got whaled with a 100-mile-an-hour pitch that Sanchez couldn't catch. You know, that's one of those things you can't review. I know Blue Jays fans were pissed. If it happened to us, I'd be pissed. I get it. But you can't review that sort of thing. And it worked out for the Yankees. And considering how the ninth inning started with Aroldis Chapman giving up a single to Vlad Jr. and then a double to Hernandez with no outs, it looked like it was going to be another meltdown. And then it wasn't. And the Yankees end up winning. My biggest shock in the ninth inning was the fact that Randall Grichuk was up after Vlad Jr. and Teoscar Hernandez hit those hits. And I figured, great, the Yankee killer Randall Grichuk is going to end this game. Then he strikes out. It was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And even the last play was slightly scary, but Gardner made the catch and ended the game. So yeah, let's never do that again. I said this about Zach Britton in the eighth inning the other night. Can we not do this? It's the middle of June. We all don't need to be stressed. I feel like Aroldis Chapman's performance last night took about 5 years off my life. Now, the funny thing is, although not very funny, the Yankees only had four hits last night. Aaron Judge had one, Stanton had one, Andujar had one, Sanchez had one, obviously. And Stanton had the other RBI. That was it. And they were only 0 for 2 with runners in scoring position because no one got there, because no one could do anything. So again, thank goodness for Gary Sanchez.
Gary!
In a moment, I'll have all the quotes you need to know from after the game last night, including Gerrit Cole, Aaron Boone, and Gary Sanchez. But first, investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFORNT.com/lockedonMLB to grow your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. After last night's game, Gerrit Cole had some things to say, and here they are.
Serious surge of adrenaline, and better lock it in, like, immediately, since we have the lead. It was like, he hit it into the night, majestic shot, and I'm like, I gotta get focused. We need to shut down inning here.
Is that why, Garrett, the TV replay sort of showed you with no reaction at all to the home run?
Yeah, I guess.
That in your head, you're automatically focused on the next half inning that, okay, now next time I'm on the mound, I'm going to have a lead.
Yeah.
Thank you, Garrett.
Marley Rivera, you have the next question.
Hi, Garrett. We saw you, it's obviously a very cold day. We saw you rubbing the ball and struggling with your grip today, did you?
Yeah. It was really windy early. Very tough to grip the ball. But wind died down later in the game and I got some more feel. So it got better as it progressed.
And Garrett, you obviously had a great performance through eight innings, but your RPMs were down, the revolutions. Is there a reason for that?
I think I alluded to it answering the question and beforehand. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's, look, we're all just trying to play by the rules, play by what the commissioners handed out going forward. And so spin rate's not everything. You can still pitch well if you don't have a high spin rate.
Thank you, Garrett. Appreciate it.
Joel Sherman, you have the next question.
Garrett, you haven't spoken publicly since MLB's memo came out on how they're planning to handle the sticky substance with the umpires checking the pitchers more regularly. Do you have thoughts on how this was handled and how it is going to be handled moving forward?
I do. I think the intent I agree with. Uniformity I agree with. It's probably consensus among all the players, especially everybody that I've spoken to. We're in line with what the league is thinking in terms of that. Now, again, you know, the customs and practices of the last 20, 30 years in this league are one thing. And then to make a drastic change in the middle of the season is going to be challenging for a lot of people. I am a little concerned of injuries, especially after talking to Tyler. And I hope that we can apply some feel to the situation. You know, the players on the union calls, you know, we all have, again, quite a strong consensus on I think where we believe this should go. You know, I would encourage the commissioner's office to continue to talk with us, please, because we're the ones that throw the ball. They don't. And we're the experts in this situation. And then we're aligned in terms of intent with the commissioner's office as well.
I like that Cole was a little more forthcoming last night. I don't know if he felt, I don't know, maybe Tyler Glass now coming out and saying what he said the other night helped Cole want to come out and say a little more last night, if that makes sense. Because I feel like even though Garrett Cole had warning before last week when they were asking him all the questions, I feel like he probably felt he couldn't be as forthcoming. But now that other guys are coming out and saying, yeah, I use stuff. It helps me grip the ball better. Everyone does it. I feel like he had, that almost gave him clearance in his head to say, all right, I'll talk about this a little more, but he's still holding back. I just wish these guys would all come out and say, yeah, we're using stuff. You guys keep manipulating the ball. What are we supposed to do? And I've said this a few times. I like the idea of there being a universal substance that they can use, because if they keep screwing at the ball and these pitchers can't handle the feel of the ball, how are they supposed to pitch? And I mean a universal substance beyond rosin. Because clearly rosin isn't helping anyone, because that's why they're combining it with other stuff so they can grip the ball. Aaron Boone had some thoughts after last night's win, and here they are.
Hey, Aaron, what impressed you most about that Houdini act that Chapman just pulled?
Just the continued focus on making pitches. You know, Vladdy kind of fought that first one off, and Teoscar, you know, didn't really hard hit him, but did a good job of just shooting it the other way and put and set themselves up, obviously, in great position. I thought he made a lot of really good pitches to Grichik to get the strikeout and then handled his position. You know, got rid of the ball a little quick to home, but a nice play to stop the comebacker, obviously. And then I thought Gurriel threw a really good at bat against him, was really competitive. But I think what Chappie had going was his stuff was good. He was throwing strikes. So he was getting himself into good counts there, and he kept making pitches. And he was a little unpredictable, too. And even though Gurriel had a really good at-bat, he saw some really good heaters, saw some really good splits, too. So I just thought he continued to keep his focus and just concentrate on making pitches against a team giving him some really tough at-bats.
Knowing how good that offense can be over there, just how tense was that dugout in the ninth?
Oh, those games are always tense, right? I mean, you know, one-run games, back-to-back games here. You know, obviously they got runners out there on base tying and go ahead runs. So those are tense moments in the game. And, you know, one of the reasons you put this uniform on is to be a part of those.
Clearly Chapman has been good for you all season long. Cole still throwing hard at the end of that eighth inning. Was there any consideration to letting him go out there in that eighth?
In the ninth?
I'm sorry, the ninth. I apologize. The ninth.
Yeah. No. I feel like he really emptied the tank there in that eighth. You saw 101, or I looked up on the scoreboard and saw 101 on one of them. His last pitch was a changeup, his hardest changeup that he's probably thrown all year. So I think it was really him just emptying the tank. I was kind of going one base runner at a time at that point. But, no, I felt like that was the end of the line for him there in the eighth.
We'll take the next one from Brendan Cuddy.
Aaron, was that a foul ball?
Sorry.
The foul ball against Gurriel. What was your view of that play?
I wasn't sure. I was watching CB right away, and when I saw him do that, then obviously I knew it was a foul ball. And one of those things you can't review. You just got to get together as a crew. So we weren't sure on our side.
And just with what Gary is doing right now, to see him do it again tonight. Just what's your reaction to that?
Just happy for him because he's worked so hard. He's just kept his nose down. Obviously, he lost some playing time, you know, about a month ago, and just has kept working. He's been a great teammate. You know, he's worked really hard on both sides of the ball. I thought he did a great job coming in and catching. Had some really good blocks there in that ninth inning, and obviously a good throw to get the out at third base. And obviously a huge swing. So his work, he's just worked, and he's had the courage to make adjustments, and you know, he's getting some of the rewards now.
Okay, I really can't wait till we get to the point where we're not doing Zoom rooms anymore, because the noise in the background makes it so hard to listen to these guys. We're almost there, right? We're getting to the point where reporters will be able to follow the teams around everywhere and go everywhere, and maybe have our TV crews and radio crews in the actual road stadiums. That would be lovely. In a moment, I'll preview tonight's matchup between Michael King and TBD of the Toronto Blue Jays. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams make their runs through the playoffs, including the Islanders and your Brooklyn Nets. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. There are so many new makes and models of cars, it is now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to carry all the parts you would need. And then you'd have to wait for the person behind the counter while they order the parts on their computer, but they're only choosing the brand that they have, and you have no choice. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So, as promised, a preview of tonight's pitching matchup, even though we don't know who's pitching for the Blue Jays still. Thank you for that, Blue Jays. Michael King, who doesn't like pizza, and is coming into this game 0-3 with a 3.77 ERA. I talked about his numbers the other night. They're not great. He's better as a reliever than he is as a starter. But he did have that one good performance against the Blue Jays. I can't remember when that was, because what is time? It was either in May or April. I want to say May. No, maybe it was April. Anyway, maybe the Yankees are hoping that he can repeat that performance, but he also pitched against them after that performance and didn't do as well. So I believe that as a starter, his ERA is over 6, which is pushing his ERA up toward 4 because it's 3.77. And as I said, the Blue Jays do not have a pitcher listed right now. So we'll find out later who will be pitching against the Yankees. But so far, so good. I mean, the Yankees haven't been blowing the doors off the place in Buffalo, but at least they won the first two games. Now let's see if they can actually sweep, because we know how much trouble they have in the final game of a series. It is not pretty. That performance from Michael King, where he shut down the Blue Jays, he came into a game and shut them down for 6 innings, that was way back on April 4th. This pandemic has made me not know what time is. That was over 2 months ago. And then he also pitched in a game against Toronto on his birthday and didn't do, well, it wasn't horrible, really. He pitched 3 innings, innings 4 through 6, gave up 6 hits, 1 run, struck out 3, gave up a home run. And the Yankees lost that game 6-2. So, holy hell. Okay, he's appeared in 10 games for the Yankees, and the Yankees have only won 2 of them. That has, it probably has nothing to do with him, really, except for the 3 losses that were credited to him. But that is astounding. And I get that the Yankees are kind of stuck here without Kluber, and they need to have guys fill in. But the Michael King as a starter experiment is not really happening. It's not working, and the Yankees need to realize that. Reporters asked Gary Sanchez about his performance last night, and I almost forgot to put his quote in here, so here you go.
Hey, Gary. Garrett Cole said on the field that after the 3 innings you had, you were the player of the game. How meaningful is that for you to hear a teammate say that?
I mean, it's very exciting, you know, to hear that from one of your teammates. And yeah, you know, when, if I'm not in the starting lineup, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to contribute any way possible. And, you know, when you get a chance like that and you have the opportunity to help your team, you know, it's always going to feel good.
Just how difficult is it to step in that situation and come through the way that you did?
Well, you know, when you find yourself not in the starting lineup, you know, you have to stay ready, like I said before. And like once you get to the 5th inning, you gotta hit a switch, you know, and you know, start thinking positive, start thinking that something might come up where the team is going to need you, you know, and, you know, things worked out well tonight.
Some late breaking news. The Yankees traded Mike Ford to the Tampa Bay Rays in exchange for cash considerations and a player to be named later. Boy, I can't wait for Mike Ford, the Yankee killer, to do something bad against them in Tropicana Field. That's going to be fun. Knowing him, it'll be a walk-off home run. Luke Voit is on the way back, by the way. He was playing with the Somerset Patriots this week, and I believe they said he should be back after the A's series this weekend. Speaking of the A's series, I will be recording my crossover episode with Jason Burke of Locked On A's later today. That will be your preview of the series, which begins tomorrow night in the Bronx. Again, reopening night. June 18th. I believe it's full capacity at Yankee Stadium, so it's going to be nice to see a normal crowd. For now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. We'll be right back.